So the gospel probably gives us one of the most famous passages. We see it so frequently displayed at sports events and on the side of the interstate. It's John 3:16. I think when Tim Tebow had it on his eye patches, it almost tore down the internet. So many thousands of people were trying to figure out what John 3:16 meant. And one way we can say this is the core of the gospel message. But it's more than just that one verse. So when we hear the entire words of Jesus in the gospel today, it brings it into a richer or a fuller understanding and appreciation of exactly what the gospel message is. For yes, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes shall not be condemned, but may have everlasting life. But those who don't believe have already been condemned. It's not a punishment that God puts on us if we refuse to believe in him. That the condemnation is the darkness that we choose to live in. The rejection of the light forces us to live in darkness. It's not something that God does to us. It's just an effect of the choices that we make. And this is the verdict. The people chose preferred darkness. That's what Jesus says. How sad. That the light of the world, the King of Kings, he comes to us, offers us eternal life. And the people prefer darkness. And this is what we heard about in that first reading from the book of Chronicles. I think this is the only time we hear a reading from this book of the Old Testament. Chronicles is a story of the history of the chosen people. And the passage we have today, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, in the traditional Jewish rendering of their scriptures, the ordering of their books, this would be the last passage that they would read. Like for us, right? The end of the book of Revelations is our last passage, our last verses. This would be the last thing that the Jewish people would read when they encounter God in the scriptures. And what does he talk about? The Babylonian exile, this central event in the life of the chosen people. That as we've heard the last few weeks, that God established a covenant with his people. That he chose certain men to lead his people into freedom. With the promise that no matter what, he would be faithful. I will be your God and you will be my people. And if you are faithful to the covenant, I will give you everything that you need. Everything that you would ever desire, I have for you, and you can find that in me. As we heard last week in the story of the woman at the well, this woman who has such desire and as evidenced by her so many husbands and her current man who wasn't her husband, so often the desire that we have, we don't know where to go to satiate it. So often we go and are left empty. But God had promised us, his children, if we're faithful to him, that he would give us everything. He would lead us to that promised land. But the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations, polluting the Lord's temple. He sent prophets and priests, but they mocked the messengers of God. They despised their warnings. They scoffed until there was no remedy. And in about the year 600 before the birth of Christ, the Babylonians came and conquered the chosen people and sent them into slavery, sent them into exile, and then burned the city and destroyed the temple, the very place where God had said, "This is where you will encounter me. This is where my promises come true." That very place, the sign of encounter with God, was destroyed. And the people were without that visible earthly reminder of the faithfulness of God because of their own infidelity, because they gave themselves over to the abominations of the nations, the pagan practices of their neighbors, idolatry. But the passage ends with hope, because a new kingdom has arisen, the kingdom of Persia. And Cyrus was given this command to fulfill the word of the Lord that those chosen people who were still in captivity, 70 years, 80 years later, so most of them maybe weren't even alive when they were put into slavery, put into exile. Now those chosen people were allowed to return and to begin to build, rebuild the temple. So the Jewish scriptures end with hope that we will be able to rebuild one day. That hope is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son to redeem us, to save us, to give us eternal life. And this, the knowing of this history, it's important for us to understand what's going on. Because while these are historical truths, these events happened in history, and God made himself present to the people in the midst of the historical events. But that history is true for each one of us. That in the promises of our baptism, we were given the promise of everything. I will be your God. You will be my son. You will be my daughter. I am faithful. If you are faithful, you will have everything that you need. Every desire of your heart will be met in me. This is the promise each one of us received in our baptism. But this is the verdict. Just like the Old Testament people, we too, through our infidelity, through our practicing of the pagan practices, we have chosen the darkness. And it's not always a joy-filled, rejoice message when we hear this, but the message of joy, the message of hope, is meaningless to us if we don't understand the abject poverty of the state of our soul, of the absolute death and darkness in which we choose, in which we live, that God died on the cross to save us from. If we are not in need of salvation, a Savior is meaningless. And so we don't want to wallow in the pain and the misery of past sin, but we need to be aware of just how helpless we are without Jesus, so that we can live in the freedom, we can live as sons and daughters, we can live in the light of Christ. This is the promise that we're all preparing to enter into once again in Easter. That it's so easy for us to be distracted, so easy for us to be complacent, to allow a little bit of the darkness into our life, a little bit of sin, and then it grows and it grows and it grows. The Lord wants to set you free. For God is rich in mercy, St. Paul says in that beautiful reading from Ephesians chapter 2, our second reading. God is rich in mercy. Oftentimes, when we realize that we've given ourselves over to sin and to darkness, we can imagine that God is vengeful. God is angry. God wants to punish us. But St. Paul so clearly tells us that that's not true, that he is rich in mercy. So often, that's how he is described in the Old Testament. Rich in mercy, abounding in kindness, slow to anger. In this passage that we had, chapter 2, verse 4 through 8, verse 4 actually has one more word that this passage begins with. But, B-U-T. We had God is rich in mercy. But St. Paul wrote, but God is rich in mercy. And why did he write that? Because you, he made alive. When you were dead through the trespasses and sin in which you once walked. You were following the course of this world and the prince and the power of the air, the spirit of the sons of disobedience. That's who we were. That we chose a life of disobedience, of trespass and sin. That's the reality. But God, who is rich in mercy, did not give up on you. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent his son to die on the cross for you, for me, for us. And this is the reality. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of his great love, that even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Do we believe this? Is this presentation of the gospel message a reality for us? This is the question that we need to ask. Do I believe that I was dead in my sin? That I had given myself over to the powers of this world? But God saved me through grace. No work of my own. I didn't earn it. I wasn't worthy of it. But God, who looked at me with love, restored me to life. This is what we're preparing for when it comes for the Easter celebration. That in a couple of weeks, when we walk with Christ through the events of Holy Week and the joys of Palm Sunday to the darkness of Good Friday, so that we can rise with him on Easter Sunday. You have been saved by grace. No work of your own, so that you may boast. The Lord wants you to receive this free gift of himself. He wants you to come to him with open arms, trusting in his mercy, surrendering yourself to him so that you can no longer prefer darkness, but with joy rise and live in the life of light. This is the opportunity, the invitation for each one of us today and every day. Let's pray for that grace, that while we're aware of the past, our hearts are set on fire for the promise of the future. For God is rich in mercy. Amen.